All right, you should have a handout tonight, and this is, and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16. This is kind of a preliminary, if you will. Perhaps it's my shot at the men's meeting, right? A little bit early. But I think something that will help us tonight as a church. And I'll say right off the bat that this message is wouldn't be considered politically correct. And sad to say, many times even in the Lord's churches, it's not received well either, even though it is the Word of God.
Amen.
Because we have been so influenced by culture and society. And so we'll see tonight how this works. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, notice in verse 13. We read, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith,
Amen.
Quit you like men. Be strong, that all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and to hear the truth tonight. And Lord, I pray as I preach the message, I trust you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Again, lead and direct my thoughts and my words, and may your word have free course this evening. Father, I know this message is primarily directed to men, but there's no doubt all of us need to hear it. And Lord, it's good for all of us to be here tonight. So please, again, work in our hearts this evening. Help me as I preach thy word, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was an article that appeared in the Baptist Press on April 3rd, some time ago. It was actually 2003, that was entitled this, "Want Your Church to Grow? Then Amen. Bring in the men."
Amen.
I'll say it again. "Want your church to grow?
Amen.
Then bring in the men."
Amen.
Now, the article referenced a study that had been done by Focus on the Family Publishing that revealed some interesting statistics. Listen to them tonight. There are about 94 million men in the United States. That was at the time of the writing of this article. 94 million. 68 million, 72%, do not attend any church at all. Nothing. Yet 85 of those 68 million, or 72%, said that they grew up with some sort of church background. 5 out of 6 even say they're Christian, but they don't attend church. Why? Why? A USA Today article was written by Kathy Grossman, said this, quote, "Every major Christian religion in the U.S. has more female members than men, than male, every one, every single one." The U.S. Congregations Life Survey tells us that the average American congregation breaks down this way. And I was kind of scrolling my eyes across the auditorium. If you notice when we were singing, I was saying I'm here doing a little counting and all that. And it's pretty accurate to what we see tonight. 61% female and 39% male. For every 4 men that attend church, there are 6 women. What's going on? What's happening? Where are the men? Where are they? Why aren't they attending church faithfully? Why? Why aren't they serving the Lord faithfully? I know some do, but I'm saying the statistics say more aren't than are. You may ask this, well, why is that important anyway? We got people, you know, what's the big deal? It is important, and I'll explain to you why. In the same article, it said this, if a child is the first person in the household to become a Christian and attend church, statistics tell us that there is a 3.5% probability that everyone else in that same household will follow. So if we reach a kid in the bus ministry and they get saved, they start attending church faithfully, the odds, the statistics tell us that only 3.5% probability that the people of that house are going to come to church. Pretty low. If the mother or a mother is the first person in the household to become a Christian and attend church, there is a 17% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. Much better. Five times better than the child. You reach your mother, want to get the household, 17% probability. Well, you know where I'm headed with this, right? But if the father, the head of the household, is the first person in that household to become a Christian and attend church, there is a 93% probability.
Amen.
Statistics tell us the entire household is going to come. That is the power of influence that a man has in his home. Tonight I want to preach on this subject. You see it in your hand on the handout. On the handout in your hand, and that is this: a strong church has strong men.
Amen.
We're going through this series now, a strong church. We talked about a strong church has strong doctrine, talked about a lot of different things.
Amen.
A strong church prioritizes evangelism. We talked about that as well. Here we're talking about something interesting. I thought it was a good thing to lead into the men's meeting. And it's true. Statistics tell us that a strong church has strong men.
Amen.
We have strong men in our church, we'll have a strong church. If we don't have strong men in our church, we don't have any men in our church, or very few, we're not going to have a strong church. Now, while I do believe our church is above average in this area, I think we can still do much better.
Amen.
I really do. Wouldn't you agree?
And
no doubt, while a strong church needs strong women and strong men, I'm not minimizing women tonight at all, so please don't misunderstand that. Understand something, that a church will never be what it could be if the men of the church do not rise up to their God-given position and responsibility as men. It's not going to happen. Let's talk about that tonight. I say talk. I'm going to preach about it tonight.
Amen.
Let's consider several things. Number one, notice this. The position of men. How do men rank as far as where? What is their position according to the Bible? Well, I think we know that. But notice what we read in 1 Corinthians 16:13. It's an interesting phrase. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Here in our text, the Apostle Paul is penning his final words to this letter, to this church at Corinth. The city of Corinth was a wicked place.
Right.
It was a big place. It would be similar today to what we would say a New York City or Philadelphia would be, a large metropolis during the days of the Apostle Paul. It was a commercial city. It was a seaport city. Lots of people, hustle and bustle, people going in and out of this place. A population of about 600,000 to 700,000 people. And as in any large transient city, you know what it's like. Sin is rampant. It absolutely is. Morals were low and idolatry was prevalent. Corinth had a temple to the goddess of beauty, Aphrodite, where they had 1,000 prostitutes that were there. I guess that had to do with the form of worship. And imagine, here it was, the Apostle Paul and his team entering into the city, preaching the gospel, and planting a local New Testament church. Some probably would have said, never in Corinth could that be done. Well, it was. God did it.
Amen.
And this city was already dealing with confusion with regards to the God-given roles of men and women, even back then.
Right.
By the way, you can go all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
Look back with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just a few pages back, in verse 9. We read, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit, the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, notice, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And notice what he says, and such were some of you. Thank God for the gospel.
Praise the Lord.
But notice he mentions effeminate. He mentions abusers of themselves with mankind. You see, Corinth was a place where there was a lot of confusion regarding the roles of men and women. By the way, it leaked into the church as well. 1 Corinthians 14:34, if you want to look over there, just a few pages to your right. We read, and I'm not going to get into this, but I'll just read the text. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the Lord, the law.
Amen.
That's God's word.
Amen.
I'm not going to preach on that tonight. There's a lot more to it. Doesn't mean you can't talk in the church. We understand you can. Talking about a position of authority in the church, speaking from that position of authority over the man. Shouldn't do that. Now, I thank God with all this confusion that the word of God clears it up. We can understand what's right from the Bible. And here at the close of the letter, Paul is telling the men of this church to quit you like men.
Amen.
That's an interesting phrase.
Right.
What's it mean? Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this phrase, tells us that this phrase means, listen to this, to render one manly. To be a man. He says, to show oneself a man.
Amen.
Now, we have a common phrase, a similar phrase we use. We'll say things like man up, or be a man, or show yourself a man. But in other words, what he's saying here is this, is there is certain behavior that is characteristic of a man. And it's characteristics of a woman, certain behavior. Which means this, that men and women are different. Light bulb tonight. You have to say that today. I mean, if I said that 20 years ago, people say, duh. What are you saying that for? You got to say it today. Now, while every man and every woman has been created by God, and has and is of equal worth to God, and all are loved by God, God desires every man and every woman to be saved, and every man and every woman, no matter what they've done in their lives, no matter what they're doing in their lives, can be saved. Men and women were created different on purpose. God did it that way. You see, we weren't created to compete with one another. We were created to complement one another.
Amen.
We're different.
Right.
Now, I'd like to consider two of the differences there are between men and women. There's a lot more, I know that. But two, with regards to what we're dealing with tonight. Letter A, would you write this down? Men and women, they are different in design. They're different in design. Now, go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. I've used this illustration before when I was preaching about this subject, but understand that God created man and women, a man and a woman, and they're different.
Right.
It's kind of like this.
Amen.
A fork and a knife.
Right.
And I used a spoon before, but for some reason I grabbed a knife tonight. I don't know why. I'll get these back home on either end. I know. She's looking up saying, they're different.
Right.
Different design. Different purpose.
Right.
Okay? You know, you want to cut something, thought, I know you can do it with this, but it's a lot easier with this. This is designed to cut. This is designed to stab something. They're just different. Okay, I like them both. They're both good. They're both very helpful. I want them both. Okay? But they're not competing one with another. I wanna stab. I wanna cut. No, they're different. Now notice Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Here it is. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. This last portion of the sentence, let's all say it together, all right? Male and female created he them. Let's say it again. Male and female created he them. Now, there's several things to learn from those verses. One is this. God created only two models. Ford and Chevy.
Amen.
That's it. Man and woman. That's it.
Right.
There are no other options.
Right. Amen.
Young person, listen to this because you're going to be hearing otherwise in your workplace. There are no in-betweens.
Right.
And God makes no mistakes. It's that simple. Which means this. We do not choose what we want to be.
Amen.
Nobody does.
Right.
We do not change into what we want to be.
Amen.
We are what we are. If you were born a male, that's what you are.
Praise
the Lord. Be happy about it.
Amen.
You're a male.
Praise
not hard to figure out what you are, by the way. Hey, if you were born a female, that's what you are. You are a female.
Amen.
And anyone, I'll say it again, anyone who tries to act like the other sex, notice I use the word sex, not gender.
Right.
Sex. Act like the other sex, look like the other sex, talk like the other sex, dress like the other sex, or God forbid, desires a romantic involvement with the other sex, is committing one of the most heinous sins against God.
Amen.
I can't help it. Yes, you can.
Amen.
It's sin.
Praise the Lord.
You can help it.
Amen.
It's sin.
Right.
Let's go to Leviticus 18, since we're enjoying this part of this sermon.
Amen.
Leviticus 18. If I can get there. Leviticus 18. Well, the Bible doesn't really say anything about this. Oh, really? Okay. Let's see.
Amen.
Real tricky verses here. Real hard to understand. You might have to go to the Hebrew to figure this one out. Ready? Leviticus 18. Look at verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination.
Amen.
Right. That's not hard to figure out.
Right.
Let's read on. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith.
Amen.
Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants.
Amen.
Well, I can't figure out why we're going through so much trouble in America. Really?
Amen.
The way they flaunt this stuff? It's an abomination to God.
Amen.
Did you notice that God ranks it right up there, this lying man with mankind, or that sort of thing? He ranks it right up there with lying with an animal.
Right. Amen.
That's how bad it is.
God help
us. So embrace what God created you to be.
Amen.
And enjoy it.
Praise the Lord.
You know, when God created man, he made us different. We're different, men and women, right? We are. God created men, physically stronger? It's a fact. I'm not saying your sister can't arm wrestle you and beat you sometimes. I'm just saying as a whole, okay? I know some of you ladies, we've been infiltrated by the philosophy of the culture. Men are stronger physically than women. They have a greater cardiovascular reserve. On average, men are taller than women, and men are less emotional than women. It's a fact. Ladies, don't be getting emotional on me now. But listen to this. God did this on purpose. He did it on purpose. And it shouldn't be something that we reject, but something that we embrace.
Amen.
We're different.
Lord.
And it's by design.
Thank you, Jesus.
But then letter B, notice this. We're not only different by design, men and women, but we're different in assignment.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
Like a fork and a knife. Right? And a spoon. I could have a spoon differently, but, you know, we're doing two. But I don't want to eat soup with this. It doesn't work. Okay? It'd be all day. I'd get frustrated.
Right.
That's what happens when you try to use something it's not designed for.
Right.
It gets frustrated. God made men and women different. Why? Why did He make us different? Why? Why are men physically stronger and that sort of thing? Because we've been given different assignments. Different things to do. Now, I'm not going to get into all of men's assignments tonight. I'd like to. Some of the things in the Word of God that God designed a man for is this. Number one is work.
Amen.
Not that women shouldn't do any work, but the man is designed by God to take on that taxing labor, those taxing jobs that require great physical strength and endurance. God made men for that. That's why men, when you see a lady carrying something, help her out, heads if it's heavy.
Amen.
Open a door for her.
Amen.
Be a gentleman. Amen? Okay, so we were designed for work. Guess what else we were designed for? War.
Amen.
We were designed to go to war.
Right.
That's man's job.
Amen.
Preacher, you're stepping on our toes now. These women, they're in boot camp doing all this. They weren't designed to go to war. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I'm not saying they can't be a part of the military and maybe some sort of helps manner in the medical field. I don't know. But they're not designed to go to war.
Right.
When God told Moses to number the children of Israel to go to war, He numbered the men.
Right. Amen.
There's a woman, you let her go. And say, no.
Right.
To war. But the two assignments that I'd like to deal with tonight are this. Number one, would you write this down? You probably wrote work and war in that, didn't you? That was wrong. But anyway, number one, man is to lead.
Amen.
That's our assignment.
Right.
Doesn't matter. You're a man. You're designed to lead. Do you know God commanded the man to be the leader in the church and in the home? 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know. I know these verses, the liberals aren't going to like. This is the stuff that's probably going to get us offline.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ and the head of the woman is the man.
Amen.
You're of equal value. It's just the role.
Right.
It'd be like me going to McDonald's. Well, who's the manager? Well, he's the manager. That's his role. Doesn't mean he's a better person. That's his job. That's what he's been given to do. Okay? And the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife.
Amen.
Even as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the savior of the body.
Amen.
Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as it is fit in the Lord. So it is a man who God has given the assignment of to lead. He is to lead. He is to guide. He is to make the final decisions in the home. As a leader in the home, he's to lead by protecting his home. He's to lead by being the primary provider for his home. He is to correct and discipline the children in the home. He is to teach. He's to take control of situations that come up in the home. Man up and take care of it. And he's to make the final decisions in the home.
Right. Amen.
That's what he's to do. That's what it means to be a leader. Well, I thought leading was just, you know, everybody said, oh, there's the leader. No, it's a lot of work to lead.
Right.
It's a lot of problems you got to deal with. That's part of leadership. By the way, putting men in these leadership positions, in the home especially, does in no way indicate that men are better than women. Not at all. Or that they're smarter than women. Or of more worth than women. Or more important than women. But that's just the way God has designed it. Somebody has to be the leader. God has designed the man to do that. To be the leader. But then number two, there's another thing. And that is this. He's to live by example. So the two things, the positions, the assignments we have, we are to lead. And that, by the way, that's a part of leadership. Living by example. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. This goes without saying. You see, inherent in leadership is the necessity of leading by example.
Amen.
That's what we're to do.
Right.
In other words, as a man, in our homes and in the church, we are to live what we say we believe.
Amen.
We are to be the pattern for others to follow. Others in the church. Others that we are teaching in Sunday school. Or we teach on the bus. Those in our home. We are supposed to show them the way.
Praise the Lord.
That's what leadership is.
Amen.
You see, as a man, we don't just tell our family that we ought to be faithful to church. We're faithful to the church ourselves. Don't you say, oh, you need to be faithful. Then you're not here. We don't just tell our friends, you ought to be dedicated to God's work. And we're not dedicated to God's work. Well, we don't tell them that we're you know, you're to hand out tracts and we're not doing it. Or read our Bible and pray every day. And we're not doing it. It's not just saying those things. We're not just telling them where to give. We give ourselves. We are to both do and teach.
Right. Amen.
That's what Jesus did. He didn't just go around and tell them what to do. He could have. He's God. He's perfect. He did nothing wrong. But he did. Acts 1:1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach.
Amen.
That's how the Apostle Paul, the same way with him, with Timothy. He didn't just say, okay, Timothy, I'm going to sit back here in the tent, and you go over here and you do this, you go over here and do this, and do this, and don't do that, don't do that. He didn't do that.
Right.
He lived it himself. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life. That's what he said to Timothy there. You knew what I taught, and you knew how I lived. By the way, that's the greatest way to be a leader.
Praise the Lord.
To lead, and also to live by example. You see, what you and I as men do has more influence than what we say. In fact, it's the reverse thing. If we say it and we're not doing it, it actually has the opposite effect on people.
Amen.
Gets them upset. Well, you don't do that. What are you telling me to do that for? So husband, father, man, tonight, can I ask you something? Are you leading in your home? Are you living by example? This is your position.
Amen.
If we're going to be a strong church, you have to have strong men. And we have to own up and step up to our God-given position.
Amen.
To lead and to live by example.
Right.
And notice number two, if you would, not only the position of men, notice the problem of men. You say, well, I don't have any problems. Well, let's see. So if we're supposed to do that, I mean, it's easy, right, to say it, that there it is in the Bible. We're supposed to lead, right, lead in their homes and lead in the church, and we're to live by example. Then why are the statistics the way they are? It's clear. Why do we see the numbers? Why, when you go to most churches, there's always, really, more, almost always, more women than men? Why? Well, I'm going to give you two reasons why. Letter A is this, the perversion in society. Years ago, we had someone left this church. And I was surprised, honestly, they left. And I asked them, I said, what's wrong? Did I do something? Or did... He said, we don't like your position on men and women. That's what he mean. So we just don't like it. I said, well, I teach that men ought to be leaders in their home and leaders in the church. He said, yeah, we don't like that. And they left. Okay, wow, that's heresy. It's terrible. Why did they think that way, though? Because of our culture. Listen, if you're going to be a Christian and live for God in this world, you are going to be counterculture.
Right.
Just get used to it.
Amen.
We're going against the grain. We're swimming upstream. However you want to phrase it, God's Word and this world are at war one with another.
Amen.
Absolute war. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You have two philosophies, the world's philosophy of life and God's philosophy, God's truth, I should say. God's truth towards men and the world's philosophy towards men and women. And they are at war one with another.
Amen.
1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Amen.
You know, for decades, perhaps even more, our culture has waged warfare on manhood. It has. It has waged warfare on man's God-given role. They have worked overtime. They have worked hard and have succeeded in many cases at effeminizing men. They have. And diminishing man's role in the home and in society. They worked hard. And it's worked. Christian Hoff Summers wrote a book entitled, and I don't even know if the guy's saved, I just saw a review on the book, it was an article about the book. It's called The War Against Boys. How misguided feminism is harming our young men. The book tells a story of how we are turning against boys and in schools and in our culture, and we're stifling their leadership. We're stifling their competitiveness. We're stifling their manliness. It is seen in school curriculum and in the media where the softer and emotional side of men is emphasized. We're seeing it everywhere. Look at some of the styles that we see young men wearing today. Skinny jeans. And the hairstyles that they have, this floppy hair. What in the world? And the way they walk. And the colors they wear. I'm sorry. You wear what you want. And I'm not saying if you wear this color, something wrong. But I ain't wearing no pink tie. I ain't wearing one. You want to, go ahead. I'm not saying anything. Preference, not scripture. But I don't like it. The article goes on to say, no one denies that boys' aggressive tendencies must be checked and channeled in constructive ways. We get that. Boys need discipline, respect, and moral guidance. But men and young men don't need to be effeminized or criticized for being what God has created us to be. But that's what's happening. And you know what that has done, this wearing down of manliness in America? You know what it's done? It has caused two things to occur. Number one is this, the reversal of roles. It's flip-flopped. It is. It is perfectly normal and even encouraged today for the woman to take the leadership in the home. I've noticed often when, and we haven't been in this situation a long time, but when we were in some places where salesmen wanted to sell us stuff, he'd always look at my wife and talk to her, and I'm sitting right next to her. I mean, he's not even looking at me. It's like I'm not even there. They train them to do that. Because they know what the woman says goes. That's our culture today. Not now. At least not when I'm up here. mean, really, it's encouraged for the woman to make the final decision in the home, to be the primary breadwinner in the home. The roles have been reversed. I told you this isn't going to be a politically correct message tonight, but it's Bible.
Amen.
Do you know there are 1.75 million stay-at-home dads? It's weird. It's weird. That number has doubled over the last 10 years. Doubled. Let's go back a little further. In 2000, there were 93,000 stay-at-home dads. 1.75 million of them. There's been a reversal of roles, even in so-called Christian homes. I'd be embarrassed, honestly, if my wife had to support me. I would. And we should be. Now, I'm not saying with health, if there's some unusual circumstances, things change. I understand that. I'm talking about the normal couple that are healthy to sit back. Oh, honey, you go to work. I'll have dinner ready for you at 5. No way. No way. This society has caused a reversal of roles. And then number two, also, it's caused the relinquishing of responsibility. You know what they've done? They've scared men into a hole.
Right. Amen.
That's what they've done. We see men sitting back while women step up.
Right.
Let my wife take care of that. Why don't you take care of it? There's a problem in the home. You take care of it. Right. You're the man. It's your job. By the way, this isn't something new. You remember the story back in Judges of Deborah and Barak? You remember that story, right? By the way, Barak, I remember, I forget where we were. I think it was in Downingtown, the Jewish man that was there in the church that was saved. He was telling me, Barak, that means coward, coward. Everybody knows Barak means coward. That's what it alludes to. I'm not sure if the word means that. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I didn't look that up. But they looked down upon him. Why? What happened with him? Because God wanted him to fight.
Right.
And he didn't.
Right.
He ordered him to go against the Canaanites and he sat back and he didn't do it. So what happened? Deborah had to stand up and take
right.
Because no man would do it. Judges 4:6, and she sent Deborah and called Barak the son of Ahinoam out of Kadesh Naphtali and said unto him, watch what she says to him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun? She said, didn't God tell you to do that?
Amen.
Verse 8, Barak said unto her, I laugh when I hear this, but if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. Can you imagine that? Well, if you go with me, I'll go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. That is a picture of what we're dealing with today. Today. We see more women being the spiritual leader in the home. Mothers leading their families to attend church. Where's dad?
Right.
Well, you know, he works hard. He's tired. I hate that. He's tired. We see more women willing to take a Sunday school class than men. We see more women willing to go visiting and soul winning than men. Where are the men? Where are they? You see, one of the problems is society has caused a reversal of roles and a relinquishing of our responsibility. So the first thing, the perversion of society. But then there's another thing here that's the problem, and that is the problem of self. The second problem is men themselves.
Right.
Hey, we have an old nature, I get it. Why aren't Christian men leading like they should, living by example? Well, several possibilities. Maybe number one is this, a lack of faith.
Right.
Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Men, we have to trust that God's way is the best way. If God says to be in church, I need to be in church. If He says to serve, I need to serve Him. If He says to don't have this in my house, I can't have that in my house.
Amen.
We have to believe God's word and lead our family in that direction to honor God's word.
Amen.
But we don't have the faith to do that. If we lack faith, we won't. There's a second thing, and that is this. The love of money. That's the curse of America right there. The love of money. The love of money. Many men today have made money their God. You have more faith in the dollar than you do in God. You trust your bank account more than you trust God. By the way, God can wipe that out in a second. Pull the rug out from under us in 2008. He could pull it out again.
Right.
In a second. I mean, men will miss church to work overtime. Get some dough, man. You know? They'll relinquish their responsibilities at home to make the almighty dollar. They'll place making money over serving God. That's a problem. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, notice, they erred from the faith.
Right.
You can't serve God and mammon. That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount.
Amen.
If you're going to make money your God and things your God, materialism your God, and you can't have God as your God.
Right.
And you'll do whatever it takes to get the almighty down. Listen, I understand we need to work. I understand that. But there's a whole lot of time outside of church time that you can work.
Amen.
Make a lot of overtime. Go do a car dash. Go do something else. Make some dough if you need it.
Right.
When it's not church time.
Right.
Well, you know, if I go Sunday night, I get extra money. But you're throwing out your family.
Right.
It's a lack of faith and love of money. And then number three, we see also a lapse in character. There's a dearth of character in Christian men today. I don't know. My dad and my mom and dad were old school. I just put it that way. I went to a Christian home. I'll tell you what, we had some principles from the Bible that I didn't even know in the Bible.
Amen.
We did wrong, guess what? The rod of reproof corrected us.
Right.
That wasn't a problem in our house.
Amen.
You didn't lie in our house.
Praise
you didn't. They found out you got in trouble.
Right.
And when I mean trouble, I'm talking about the rod of reproof.
Amen.
You didn't sleep in. You didn't not have chores. You didn't not do your chores.
Amen.
You didn't do that. But where's that today, even in God's people? Used to be a part of society for the most part. There's always bad and good. I get that. But it was a part of society. You got up, you worked, you did what you had to do.
Amen.
And we're seeing this dearth of character, especially in young men today. Too tired when you get home from work to go to church. Too busy, you know. I need a day off. You don't need a day off if it's church day. Go to church. Can I be nice by saying it this way? Almost not. Grow up!
Amen.
Just grow up.
Right.
Listen, I say this all the time. The world was built by tired people.
Right.
Everybody's tired. Is anybody not tired? If you're not, then you're not doing enough. Amen?
Right.
We're all tired. Listen, I worked a secular job and ran a bus route. Did all that. I did. And I worked even odd shifts. Getting in at 4 in the morning, sleeping a couple hours, and going to church on Sunday. I know where you're at. Don't tell me I don't know. I lived it.
Amen.
You got to do it. There's got to be something inside you that says this is important.
Amen.
God's work and God's will is important.
Oh,
that's what it means, what he's saying in our text tonight. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Job 38:3. Gird up now thy loins like a man.
Amen.
People close to 30 years old living with their parents when they could be out on their own. What in the world's going on today? You see, if we want a strong church, we have to have strong men.
Amen.
We have to. So we see, number one, the position of men. Number two, the problem of men. And then number three, we're done right here. The product that we produce. Guess what? If we don't have strong men, we're going to have a weak church.
Right.
I'm not belittling women. You understand that.
Right.
But you see, I read the statistics earlier about the influence of men and what that does in a home. Someone to lead the home. Someone to lead in the church. If we don't have strong men, we'll have weak churches, we'll have weak homes, and we'll have wishy-washy young men. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Listen, I want a church that's going to continue for God for years. I want to continue for God for years. Amen. I want our children, I want to see the children in our church grow up to serve the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know what that means? That means the men of this church need to step up.
Amen.
To the responsibility that God has given to us. Amen. As men. Amen. He made you a man. He's given you an assignment. Let's fulfill what He's given us.
Amen.
Because you know what? When we do it God's way, it's always the best way.
Amen.
And it's always the blessed way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's pray together.